In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadows.
To be invited to a king's banquet is a great honor and delightful for anyone, in that you would have the best food, the best entertainment, the honor of being a part of the court, when typically people were honored to be in the king's court, and to be able to mingle with the elites, if that's what you might be into. But either way, it's a great honor, and as we heard in today's parable, the gospel today, each person had made their excuse because they had something that they wanted to do which was more of a priority in their lives, or better, or for whatever reason, they decided that they would rather do those things. And this, of course, in the time of kings and those things would be greatly insulting, and so the ending that they shall not taste the supper is totally in line with the level of disregard for the king that they would have for these subjects to have. Why is it that the king who sends his servant out to the highways and the hedges, to the byways, and eventually just to fill his house? Well, you see, when he went to his own people, they didn't want to come and they had other priorities. But out on the highways and the hedges, these people don't have anything. The vagabond doesn't have anything to distract them. The person who is out on the periphery of society doesn't have anything to keep them entertained, or anything that they would grab onto that is somehow better. And we're meant to see in this parable an image of how oftentimes the good things we have in our lives, the blessings we have in our lives, those material blessings, those joys of marriage, of property ownership, of children, that at times those are the very things that we will use to make excuse, to excuse ourselves from the heavenly banquet. Now, Jesus even says when Peter is talking to him about following him, that people will have to forsake their families. He even says, let the dead bury the dead at one time. In saying that, the heavenly banquet is presented to us as something that is precious and should be the very center of human existence. At least that's what the parable is teaching. But in order for the parable to be the center of our existence, there has to be some notion of what do we get out of it? I mean, just on a basic selfish way of thinking, human beings are often drawn towards pleasure and repelled by pain. So what exactly is it that we are to get out of the heavenly banquet? I mean, I know what I'm going to get out of pragmatically when I'm married, as the excuser said. I know what it is to tend my oxen. I know what it is to work, to tend to my family and do many as various things where the benefits are obvious. But pursuing the kingdom of heaven, the benefit of that, which we are asked to do first and foremost in our lives, the benefits are not obvious. And oftentimes, because we're so worldly focused and so earthly focused, we never even get a foretaste of the grace of God or the grace and benefits of the kingdom of heaven. And this, of course, is a very sad thing. In the readings I've been doing for class, one of the focal points has been St. Siloam of Mount Athos through Elder Sophronie's writings. And St. Siloam writes a lament as though he was Adam being exiled from the garden. Because at one point he experienced some of the grace of God. And the teaching for us is that we can get from him is that when he experiences that grace, all of a sudden, the rest of the world is meaningless. There's nothing in the world that can satisfy the heart of man. And if one tastes the grace of God just a little bit, it creates a fervency of soul that makes it irreplaceable. The presence of God is irreplaceable. To be at the banquet, to be in the presence of the King, is not something tossed away or something made excuses, that you make excuses about. And the only reason we can make excuses is because we haven't had a more profound experience of the grace of God. And so it's easy to throw away and to prioritize every other thing. But the people on the highways and the hedges haven't had the good things of this life. The people who weren't invited don't have those easy, comforting distractions. And so it is much easier for them to appreciate the invitation. As we fast and prepare for Nativity, one of the reasons we fast is to empty ourselves, to experience emptiness, so that we can be out on the fringes, so that we can go out onto the highways and the hedges of our life, so that we'll begin to put away the excuses we make to avoid being in the presence of God. Whether being in the presence of God means going to church, receiving communion, or simply praying at home, or reading the scriptures, or serving our neighbor. These excuses that are made are the same excuses as why we don't pray, why we don't sit in silence, why we think more about our financial well-being than we think about giving to the church. They're the excuses. They're just the basic fundamental excuses of life. And so emptying ourselves is meant to be prepare us for this foretaste, for Christ to be born in us. But more than this, we can say that nowadays fasting often isn't an emptying of ourselves. That fasting, I believe, has become broken in some sense. It's not, for many people, it is more of an exercise of substitution and finding ways around the fast than it is actually an emptying of self. Just being honest about most of what I've seen in my life anyways, myself and others. And so I guess what that leaves us to pray for, if we can empty ourselves, if we're even willing to make excuses so we don't have to empty ourselves, if we're not willing to experience need, then I guess that what it leads us to is to ask for God to send His mercy upon us, that He somehow give us a foretaste of that heavenly banquet, that He give us some practical, tangible grace that we can wrap our lives around. St. Silouan, you know, you've heard of Elder St. Seraphim, who kneeled on a rock for 1,000 days. Well, he wasn't doing that just because it was ascetic and it showed how strong he was. He was doing it because he wanted to receive the grace of God, and the grace of God was worth it. The problem is that oftentimes we don't think the grace of God is worth anything. And I don't think there's a sermon I can preach that can change that. But our God needs to change it. And so be aware in your hearts of how blessed and how much grace He pours upon us. But more than that, ask Him to show it to you, especially in this Nativity season, that somehow God would touch our hearts so that we could bear the reality of this gospel, that this God we worship, the gospel that we preach, and the experience of grace that we are actually calling other people to as they enter our church or enter our lives. May God bless us with this grace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.